You're listening to a special Lakes FM presentation of the Lakes Region Community Forum, Focus on Homelessness. We would like to thank Concord Hospital Health Systems for helping us bring this to you today. And now, here's Heather Bishop.
I've got Tammy Carmichael, the CEO of Partnership for Public Health. Now, when people think the Partnership for Public Health, a lot of people think just physical health. But you guys take care of more than just the physical health of our community, right?
Yes, public health is just focusing on the community's health as a whole. So it's our mental health, our economic health, our safety in the community, physical health, and we look at all of the community and we focus on things and give it that public health lens. So we're looking at any issues or anything that may arise that would maybe harm a person's health or cause a barrier to a person accessing health. So it's access to healthcare, access to resources that help people be more stable in their environment and in their community, so we have the healthiest community possible for all of our citizens here in the area.
And when we have unhoused, those are people who need help with their total health.
Yes. Someone experiencing homelessness, there's so many reasons. It's not just a one size fits all in the homeless population. It can be so many different reasons that someone is experiencing homelessness. It could be an economic reason. You know, their car broke down and they had a big expense, so they had to not pay their rent to focus on their car. It could be the fact that they had a medical illness that it took so much of their income that they weren't able to afford their rent, and so they got evicted from their home. It could be because they're having a substance misuse problem. It's just one of the so many diverse reasons that someone can become homelessness. I myself experienced homelessness in my early 40s, and I know it's not the typical definition. I did not live on the street, but I was exiting an abusive relationship, and so I left the home that I was living in with that person and did not have a home. And thank goodness my sister took me in, and for 6 months she let me stay there with her while I got back on my feet again. But technically, the definition is I didn't have a home for 6 months. So there's so many different reasons that people can become homeless or experience homelessness in our society. And for us, we don't know that person's story unless we have a conversation with them and start to talk to them and find out what are some of the main reasons in our community that people are experiencing homelessness. And then working together as a community and organizations in our community to how can we circumnavigate some of those issues that our people are experiencing in our community that are causing this issue.
Part of the reason why I'm doing this is because I saw someone who was unhoused on the side of the road. I'm embarrassed to say the first thing that popped in my head was, why don't they get a job? And then I sat and I thought about that. I'm like, well, I have a son who is in his 20s and he has a home and it's hard for him to get a job. Imagine if you don't have a home address or a place to take a shower, things like that. And it really got me thinking, and I wanted to have this discussion about not only how, but what are some of the causes. Now, I know that you and the Partnership for Public Health have been thinking about this for a long time. You were on the mayor's task force, correct?
Yes, we were part of the Laconia Mayor's Housing Task Force that it convened prior to COVID. And then, as everyone knows, COVID happened and everything took a pause for a little bit. But in 2022, we saw the explosiveness of the situation in our community and that this was rising as an important issue that we needed to address and focus on and was affecting so many more people. So the mayor actually got a group of us back together and said we need to reconvene this and start talking about it again. So in the fall of 2022, the Partnership for Public Health, working with Laconia Mayor's Housing Task Force, we started to have forums in each of the city wards just to talk to the community and see what everyone was experiencing, talk about ideas that we had, because again, it's not a one size fits all. So it's not a one and done answer for anyone either. It's
yeah.
A complex situation.
You know, it's not what we may have thought in our minds. You know, it's not just someone's lazy or someone doesn't want to work. There's a lot of different reasons.
Yes.
And some of it isn't even their fault. A lot of it is lack of housing.
Yes. I mean, if you think about it, you were talking about your son, but if you think about a lot of the people in our community and what it takes to afford a place to live, not to even rent a place to live, if you can find a place that's available to rent in this community. I came to this community 4.5 years ago, and even 4.5 years ago, there are not a lot of rentals in the community. And I had a pet. And, you know, if you can
yep.
be a little choosy about who you're going to rent to, of course, you're not going to rent to someone who has a pet. And then that causes conflict. complex issues for people and finding rentals. And I had to change and pivot and choose to purchase a place, which I was able to afford. But if that's not an option that's available to you, what do you do if there's not an affordable rental for you? How do you survive? Where do you go? I see a lot of people that are multi-generational in their houses now because they can't afford to find an apartment, or there's not an apartment for them. So they choose to live together. I see a lot of our aging community that would love to downsize their home. But if they sold their home, where are they going to go to downsize their home, to turn over the inventory for a more family-oriented person that would experience that home and use it? So it's definitely a much more complex situation with our housing situation and the inventory that we have a lack of here in our community. Both multi-unit housing as well as individual housing, more affordable workforce housing. A lot of the housing that's being built is out of the affordability range for a working family in this community. So it definitely, just the complexity of it, it's so diverse. And again, it's just not one answer that's going to fix this situation. And it's not going to be something that we can solve overnight. So we have to continue to come together as a community and work on it methodically and make the steps forward that we can make forward in our community a little bit at a time. And hopefully 5 years down the road, we can look back and say, hey, we did that. And we have a nice stable community with supports in place for those who are having difficulties and need that help or that hand to get on a more stable path in their life.
We are very lucky that we do have a lot of resources. Have you seen any health issues because of people being unhoused, especially this time of year? It's been a brutal winter. Has that been causing a lot of issues that you've been seeing?
I work a lot with the Laconia Fire Department. We actually have a program that we're getting up and running. It's the Community Paramedicine and Community Health Worker Program. We just received a grant from HRSA to implement this program. We have a community health worker already working in the community, helping connect people to resources. But the community paramedic will actually be working with our unhoused population and with some of the health issues and concerns that they're having. A lot of it is simple as wound care. If you cut yourself and you're out and about and you don't have the proper ability or access to being able to just wash your wound on a daily basis, it can become infected.
Sepsis.
Yes, yes. And so the community paramedic will be working. They'll be set up with some of our community partners that work very closely with those experiencing homelessness, and they will set up routine visits for those experiencing homelessness so they can get some of that medical care. That program will implement and start rolling out in April, and hopefully we'll see more of that assistance with that population and getting them more access to the health care and more routine health care, because we all have access to the emergency room, but it's that routine health care, that daily health care. If you're having a cold or a flu and you need antibiotic, where do you go other than the emergency room, and you're experiencing homelessness, to receive something like that? So we're going to start working with that population and trying to connect them to the access that they need for their medical health. If your day is spent trying to stay warm or trying to find a facility to use as a restroom or trying to deal with where your next meal is going to come from, navigating, like, how are you going to get to the doctor? It is a mile away from where you're actually staying or where you're actually physically at right now. And so you have to walk that mile, and it's raining and you don't have an umbrella and you have a dry place, you know. So do you choose to walk that mile and make that appointment that you have? Or it's definitely more complex as to say, I have this appointment at the doctor's office, and we can easily drive to it and plan our day and schedule our day to get there. But for someone that's experiencing homelessness, they might not even realize what day it is, and it's the day that they have their appointment.
Or they may just don't want to be looked at with prejudicial eyes.
Yes, like coming in, sitting in the waiting room, having people next to them, you know, whispering, giving them looks, or even if people aren't doing that, feeling like that's the case. And so it is, you know, a stigma that is, you know, sometimes hard, and just understanding that that's what those experiencing homelessness go through, and the way the society looks at them, it's got to be something difficult for anyone to experience when they're looking to seek services and they know that they could potentially have barriers to those services because they are experiencing homelessness.
Do you have any other programs or any other services that could help those who are homeless?
So we have our Aging and Disability Resource Center. That is a no wrong door program. So anybody really is allowed to access our counselors and our caseworkers there. They help people apply for food stamps and navigate all the barriers there are of getting, you know, your birth certificate and your income information and all the hurdles there are to those type of applications. So they are there to walk hand in hand with someone through those applications and make sure that they get to the end of it and get the resources that they need. Whether it is Medicaid, food stamps, working with some of our utility companies, if you aren't experiencing homelessness, but you're at risk because you're having trouble managing your finances and the place that you're living, they can actually help with, you know, looking at your resources. Are there ways to save money on your medical bills or your medical expenses, as well as can we connect you to resources at the utility companies to help make it more manageable for you to pay those bills? So their job, they're options counselors, and they basically work with the whole person and try to have conversations with people and really define what the hurdles are or the barriers are for that person that may be at risk of losing their home, and trying to help them connect to the resources that would stabilize them.
What I'm hearing is over and over again from my guests for the show is that prevention is one of the keys in order to move forward to lower the numbers. And there are so many resources out there for people who may be on the cusp. They just need to not think of it as asking for help and maybe putting their pride aside, but just taking advantage or using the resources that are already there to help them so they don't reach that point.
Yes, a lot of our successful people are people that own large corporations. They take advantages of the rules that society has built. They take tax advantages. They take advantages of all the rules and regulations. They have lawyers and people that they hire to take advantages of what we've built as a society and those advantages that are put in place. So why shouldn't all of us take those advantages that are put in place and those resources that are there to help us in the community? That's what they're there for. They're there to help when we need help. I always say it takes a village. It takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to navigate this life. The life we live is so complex nowadays. I can't imagine someone navigating our healthcare system without someone helping them. I work with our healthcare system, and sometimes I have difficulty navigating it. And so I can't imagine someone out in the community that doesn't work regularly with our healthcare system and other systems we have in place, not just having that person to say, hey, can you help me? Have you experienced this? And that's what our options counselors at the Partnership for Public Health can do. They can help be that person that say, if I don't know the answer, let me dig into it in our community and I can find somebody that has an answer to this question. And so we pride ourselves in doing that. We are a no wrong door, and you come to us. If we're not the answer, we're going to find who can help you with that answer.
I love that, because we need to come together more as a community.
Yes.
And that's how we're going to solve these problems. And it's not going to be overnight, but if we can prevent at least one person from becoming homeless, that's a number in the future we don't have to worry about.
Yes, prevention is a keystone of public health, preventing the spread of disease, preventing someone from needing to go to the ER, preventing someone from losing their home or losing their place that they're living, and preventing someone from not accessing healthcare because they don't have the insurance or the funds to do it, preventing someone from not having heat in their home. You know, that is a big piece of what public health is putting resources and systems in place that can work on that prevention, preventing someone hopefully from initiating substance misuse. We have our Laconia Youth Alliance that works in the Laconia High School, Middle School, because we don't want people to start on substances. And so we're working to try to educate and hopefully redirect people from needing to substances in their lives and to start those substances and then later on have issues. So public health is a lot about prevention. For us to be able to step in and help you and be a support for you, that's one of the keys to preventing those experiencing homelessness in our community.
I think we are such a reactive society that it's difficult to be preventative. But if we change our way of thought, we may find that a lot of our issues aren't huge issues in the future if we just take a little bit of prevention.
And we do it in so many other places in our lives. Like a lot of reasons that we put a dam in place is mm-hmm. so that we can control the floodwaters so communities don't flood. We do it on the lakes when we reduce them in the fall so people can work on their docks so they can prevent their docks and things like that from deteriorating. So we do it in so many other parts of our lives. We just have to put it more into our health and our social systems in our community. We have to focus more on that prevention.
And we have to come together more as a community.
Yes.
Where can people find out more about the programs that the Partnership for Public Health offer?
So you can go to our website, pphnh.org, and we have all kinds of different pages there for all the different services that we provide. It also talks about the work that we're doing with our health council, which is our safety net providers in our community, those people that are working together on our community safety and all our problems that we want to make better here in the community. So you can go to pphnh.org.
Thank you so much, Tammy. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate anybody that wants to talk about public health.
I don't know about you, but I have definitely learned a lot over the last hour. Some of the things I thought about homelessness, I now realize are just misconceptions. And I think it's important that we continue this discussion. And if you are someone who is on the verge of homelessness, know that there are so many resources out there at your fingertips here in the Lakes region. And don't be afraid to ask for help. That is why it's there. Prevention and empathy are the keys to help solving this crisis. If you have any comments or you have a subject for a future Lakes Region Community Forum Focus, please drop us an email anytime. community@lakes1015.com. We want to thank Concord Hospital Health Systems for helping us to bring you this presentation today. And on behalf of us here at Lakes FM, we want to thank you for listening.